Hi, I'm here today with Greg Mosley, who is the president of Operation Unite, located here in Hudson, New York. And today we're talking about the new initiative to increase minority hiring in the Hudson HPD, Hudson Police Department.
Well, actually, it would be for in law enforcement throughout the state and the country as well.
Oh, I see. It's not just, it's to increase minority presence in police departments anywhere.
Yes.
But the idea is to do it through this local group.
Yes.
So give me a little background. You, Operation Unite is what exactly?
Operation Unite, we're a not-for-profit community-based organization, which we specialize in culture, arts, and education. And we're located on 360 Columbia Street. My wife, Elaine, is the executive director, and I'm the president.
You have your own building there, right?
Yes, yes, right on Columbia Street.
And I assume it's a nonprofit, and it's funded largely through contributions and grants, or?
Yes, exactly.
So Operation Unite, is that the same group that Joan Hunt works for?
No.
No, she's, what's hers called? Anyway, not important, I can cut that out. So it's you and your wife, and how did you come up with this initiative about training or identifying? Well, you can explain it. What is it exactly you hope to do?
Yeah, this is a, it's not new, but it's an initiative that I'm doing once again. It's a diversity initiative to try to increase and to give minorities and women an insight and to what a career in law enforcement could be like for them.
And I believe you've had a career in law enforcement, is that correct?
Yes, I was a member of the New York State Police. I retired as a lieutenant.
That means a trooper, right?
Yeah, oh. Trooper. Yeah. Started as a trooper and worked your way up. And I went through the ranks and retired, like I said, as a lieutenant. And after 32 years. Wow. And then I said I always had my hand in training and things of that nature, especially late in my career, as I finished my career up in Albany headquarters.
So that's where troopers are trained up there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So having a background in law enforcement, and like I said, this program is not exactly new in that 15 years ago, through Operation, I did a similar program where I knew that there were some young minorities and women in this community who were seeking a career in law enforcement, and I knew them personally and kind of took them under my wing and mentored them and brought them into the folds of law enforcement by running a program similar to this to give them an opportunity to see what law enforcement, a career would be like, and let them know that it's there and available for them.
Are any of them in law enforcement now?
Yeah, actually. There were probably about 10 students or candidates at the time, and mm-hmm. I'm happy to say 8 of them are all in law enforcement.
Wow, that's a huge success rate.
They were just... They were wonderful young people who really had a desire to be in law enforcement. So it wasn't a big group, but it was a sound group, and they really wanted a career in law enforcement, and they're all working somewhere now.
When you did it the first time, was it mainly located in Hudson?
Yes.
The young people were from Hudson?
Yeah.
Are any of them in the Hudson PD?
Yes. Who's over the PD now is, what's her name?
It's okay.
The name would just
escape. That's right.
But Tracy Robinson.
Oh,
Tracy
okay.
Robinson is over in the PD. Mashonda Franklin, she wasn't initially part of the program, the law enforcement program, mm-hmm. but she was an Operation Unite kid, so to speak.
I didn't know that.
She was one of our early members of Operation Unite.
We're fellow CrossFitters.
Her and her sister both are students in the Operation Unite program.
Wow.
And I'm happy to see she's got a nice career in law enforcement as well.
Yes.
And there's Abdul Weed, people might know locally, Marcus Walthour, Dwayne sure. Grant, Jerome Daniels, Esther Suarez. So there's a number of them who are, you may know locally, who are still, and actually have, one of the purposes is to get them to reinvest themselves back into our community.
Right.
Which is the beauty of it, that so many of them are still here in the community.
So let's go back to that first group. How did they identify themselves as people with an interest in law enforcement, or did you sort of reach out to... young people who are already involved with Operation Unite.
Some of them were involved in Operation Unite. Jerome Daniels, he was an Operation Unite kid,
that was more like after school enrichment programs and things
yes,
like that.
Yeah, okay. Operation Unite. We said we do culture, arts, and education primarily. We do a multitude of things, but that's one of the things we did. Mm-hmm. And then it just came to me as like, you know what, these young people were asking me, and Mr. Mosley, how can I get in law enforcement? How can I be a trooper? How can I be a police officer? So I just said, okay, you know what? I'll begin to work with them. And a few of them, just by, I know your mother, I know your father, mm-hmm. I know you want to be in law enforcement. And so they came around.
Did you grow up in Hudson?
No, I grew up in Staten Island, New York.
Oh.
And the state police sent me here to my first assignment to SP Claverack, where I came, my first station. And then I came to the community of Hudson and loved the community. And my wife and my children have been here for 35 years mm-hmm. or so. So, you know, and then the program, that's how it kind of started. And it was successful, and I'm proud of all of them. And they're doing great jobs out there. So when it came about, this new initiative was that Bill Hughes and Rick Scalera, who are both
supervisors, one from the 4th and one from Bill Hughes from the 4th Board, or, yeah, 4th, I believe, or 2nd.
I'm
not sure. But former Mayor Scalera from the 5th Board.
Yeah, the two of them, I met, actually, it was at the Providence Hall dinner. Mm-hmm. Where we do a holiday dinner for the residents of Providence Hall each year through Operation Night. And Billy was there, as usual. Each year he's there. And he said to me, Greg, I got this thing I want to do. Would you be considered doing it with me? And I listened to him and his proposal. And I said, Billy, that's very nice. I think you got a great concept and idea. However, I did this before, and maybe you might want to hear the way I think we should do it. And we talked, and we met with Rick, and the three of us put our heads together, and we came up with, we designed this program that we think is going to be effective and very worthwhile in our community. So that's how we got started, and I sat down and began to design the program and put the pieces together to bring the sheriff in. The Columbia County Sheriff mm-hmm. is a big supporter of the program.
That's Bartlett.
Dave Bartlett. And Eddie Moore, who is now the current chief, mm-hmm. he's on board, so it was important to have the law enforcement on board. I have some members of the state police that I've worked with in the past who are on board to help out with the program.
Because they have to be on board partly because, does that mean you actually take the young people to the various law enforcement agencies to see how it works? Do they do ride-alongs even?
Yeah, we have a whole program, and said ride-along is one part of it. I need law enforcement and corrections as well. Department of Corrections here in Hudson, they'll be working with us as well. Like I said, it's Korean law enforcement.
Mr. Sclera's background too, right?
Yeah, he was a correction officer for many years and retired mm-hmm. from corrections. But it's important that the court systems are involved, the district attorney is involved, Judge Kowick, Paul Chiker is on board with me, Michael Howard, who's a defense attorney, is on board with me. So there are many, many people who are on board to help this program. And the purpose of the program is to help these young people know that there's an opportunity for them there, and to prepare them so when they get there, when they get to take the test, and when they get to an interview, they are prepared. So many times they get there and they fail because they were ill-prepared and didn't know.
Now, the test you speak of is what exactly?
Well, there are several tests. There's the civil service test, local civil mm-hmm. service test, which you need to take and pass and be reachable on a list to become a police officer in New York State. In the municipalities, and then the state police exam comes around every 4 years, which exam's there. You have corrections exam comes around. The court officers' exams to come up and down. So these young people, we have to have them ready and prepared because, like I said, so many of them, a lot of them know where they want to go. They don't know how to get there. This program is to help them see the path to get there where they want to go and be prepared when they get there. So we prepare them for success, not failure.
I guess there's been the charge that Hudson Police Department is not representative enough of the community. And by community, we mean minorities and women. And the defense for the PD has been there haven't been the candidates. Is that what this is kind of addressing? Or do you believe that's not? I mean, is that an accurate portrayal?
Yes, it is an accurate portrayal. You know, people often want the police department to reflect the community. Mm-hmm. And it's not as easy as people think it is. I've been in law enforcement for a long time, and I can assure you it's not quite as simple as people saying, well, why don't you just hire more people of color? Why don't you just hire more blacks, more Hispanics, more women? It's not quite that simple. It's a long process that takes qualified people to become qualified, to be eligible, to take the exam, to get their schooling. All these things have to be in place for it to happen. Then you have a list, and you have waiting lists. And
yes, this famous list you always hear about locally that there's one or two people who get control of that list and determine who becomes hired. This kind of I mean, is that accurate, or is it just kind of a myth that, that perpetuates itself?
Well, to some degree, it's a myth, and some degree, it's accurate. I mean, clearly, opportunities come, and who controls those opportunities is always questionable. With the state police, it's a straight list. You take the list, you take the test. If you're number one, you're the first one called. If you're number 1,000, you're the 1,000th person called. Locally, you can't become a police officer on a local level unless you attend the Zone 14 Police Academy or some type of police certification course you have to take. So that's one of the things we want to do is get these kids, these young people, I should say kids, these young people.
Compared to us.
get these young people prepared to take these exams, pass these exams, and become eligible to be reached on these
right.
lists.
That C-14 exam, is that what it's called?
Zone 14.
Zone 14.
Zone 14 Academy, which is out at the college.
Oh, it's out at Columbia Green.
Columbia Green Community College. That's where the Zone 14 Academy is held.
And how long does that program go?
That's it's a nightly program. It's one of the few part-time police academies left in the state. I think it's a six-month program. It goes. They meet at night at Columbia Memorial at the college. So that's a big deal, is getting people into the program, because it costs money to get in the program. You have to be sponsored. A lot of PDs, local PDs, will say, "Well, Greg, you know, I'd like to sponsor somebody, you know, but it's costly in the town. There's Chatham or Hudson or Copeg or Catskill. There's the budgetary restrictions that prohibit them from just sponsoring a host of people, so it's limited who they can host and who they will sponsor. So we
can
go ahead.
Can private donors sponsor people through this academy, or is that illegal?
Nope. Now that's a great question you asked. That's a really good question, because these are things that people don't know. Is that I asked the sheriff, I said, "Well, how many people can you sponsor?" And he's like, "Well, I can sponsor as many as I want to. However, it's costly. You're talking like $5,000 per student, per candidate to go through the academy. A lot of towns and municipalities don't have this in the budget, just to sponsor, you know, randomly numerous amounts of people. So what we did, and this is a real, real big part of this program, is the initiative, is that the Galvin Foundation, through Rick Scalera and the Galvin Foundation, we've secured funds to scholarship people into the academy. They still have to be sponsored by a local municipality, but that's where coming in, Hudson Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, the local municipalities, that's where they come in. If I can give them viable candidates to sponsor, and I take the money off the table, that there's no monetary issue here, then...
What do you mean by that? You've taken what money off the table? Oh, you mean for the student themselves couldn't afford.
Right. For the tuitions. Or the town couldn't afford.
Right.
So we take that, we eliminate that problem.
I see what you mean. Right.
Now, okay, that's one big obstacle off the table. We have funding available. And through the Galvin Foundation, we have secured funding to sponsor four candidates in a Zone 14 Academy. It's a two-prong attack we have with the funding source. And the Galvin Foundation is our sole funding source. Well, we have allocated $10,000 to run the program, and $20,000 for the scholarships to go to four candidates that we will select the candidates that.
So once you've selected a candidate, are you going to prepare them for the zone course, or immediately, or work with them while they're taking the zone course?
We will continue to work. We'll prepare them for it. And we'll continue to work with them while they're there.
Right.
If they get in next week or next month before this program concludes, my program is a six-month program.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll have these young people in law enforcement careers and jobs prior to the end of the program. But if not, you know, we'll do it afterwards. But we the sooner we can get them in law enforcement, the better.
And now the Zone 14 course, does that begin on a typical academic calendar, like January or?
Yeah, the cycle, I should notice, and I don't... It's September. I think it ends in or begins in September. The next cycle will begin in September.
Yeah.
So
when are you going to get started on this?
This initiative will start February 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Is our kickoff. We'll be having our first session at the Chamber of Commerce down on Front Street, 1 North Front Street, and that's where we'll be holding our sessions there. Majority of our sessions will be held at the Chamber of Commerce. And the 23rd will be the kickoff. We have some exciting people to come in, and like Preston Felton, who is a Hudson person who grew up in Hudson, went to Hudson High School, and went on to become the superintendent of the New York State Police. He's an African-American man. He lives down the line some, but Preston's a longtime friend of mine. So Preston will come in and speak. And that's kind of what's behind the program is we bring people in to identify with these young people and let them know there is a job and career for them in law enforcement and what it's going to take to get to where they want to be.
Have you already identified some young people you hope will show up to that meeting?
Yes.
Have to name names. But
no,
I mean.
We have. I have 10 that are already registered. To date, we have 10 have registered.
So is it going to be competitive for those scholarships to the Zone 14? Or
Internally, it'll be competitive. We'll watch them. We'll work with them. There's only 4 that we have available. But by all means, if someone out there would like to donate $5,000, we'll surely take it to raise more money for the program. Mm-hmm. So we have one very gracious donor who supplies the funding. But we are more than welcome for any more. But, yeah, we will be competitive, and they'll be going to classes. They'll come to class. They'll show up late. They'll have essays. They'll have writing assignments to do. They'll have things they have to get done to show that they really want this. And it'll be a selective process for us to decide who gets it, who gets it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean other local PDs can't sponsor them.
Right.
Separate and apart from us.
Are you going to seek out those kind of sponsorships from local PDs maybe?
Oh, absolutely.
So ideally, let's say you identify 10 candidates. Ideally, you'll try to get them all into the program.
Yes.
If they're all qualified.
In the law enforcement somewhere. The Zone 14 is just one avenue.
I see.
I mean, the state police exam is coming around. It'll come around another year or 2 years.
Oh, Zone 14 is just for local departments.
Local municipalities, yes. Yes. So, I said Corrections Academy, correction test is be coming up. So
theoretically, let's say you only have 5 of the 10 funded. If one of those 5 who hasn't, qualified for the Zone 14, theoretically, you might still prepare that student or whatever you want to call them, young person, for the corrections exam.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't need to go to a course for the corrections exam.
No.
But you will be the course, essentially,
and
for that.
And that's what I'm going to try to do.
Tell me a little about the course more.
Well, the course, what we're going to be trying to do is, through the course, what I do is I bring in different speakers and different people, and I try to give them a background in what it's going to be like to be in law enforcement. Like I said, one thing through mentorship, bringing in people who are in law enforcement to talk to them and speak to them is one way of doing it. I'm working with the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Department will have things that are available to them, like to go to a tour of the jail, go to a tour of the New York State Police Academy, take them to the academy in Albany, let them meet the lieutenant in charge of the basic school, show them what the requirements are when they get there. So they're familiar, so it's not so foreign to them.
After you've taken the Zone 14 course, how long do you spend in the academy if you're going to the police academy?
Well, the Zone 14 course
is
an academy in its own.
Okay.
And the state police is a separate academy.
I see.
It's a 6-month, residential academy in Albany.
Right.
State police.
I know somebody did it recently.
Yeah, so, but I'll bring in instructors. I mean, I got lots of ideas and things like we'll have the road to success, like I said, with Preston Felton. We'll have things like resume writing and preparation. So we'll have these young people come in and we want to, do you have a resume? No, you're going to need one. Let us show you how to prepare one, a quality resume. So every student, every candidate in this program will have a quality resume that they can present upon request to some job someplace. So we want to make sure everybody has a good resume. We want to make those type of things. We want to make sure, like I said, they'll meet with the district attorney and find out the role of the DA and what a defense attorney does and, what the county court judge does and those type of things. What else we have? It's just, I'll put that out right now. But the penal law. Like I have a senior investigator who worked with me who's going to come in and show them how to use the penal law and the criminal procedural law, the books themselves. When they get to an academy, they're going to need to know these things. So we don't want it to be the first time they've seen a penal law book is when they get to an academy or into a formalized training program. It'd be nice that they've seen one. They know how to use them. They know how to find things, how to reference things. So we're trying to make this law enforcement experience not foreign to them so they are more comfortable when they get there. It's physical fitness training. I got a physical fitness trainer coming in to make sure they're all physically fit, that they have the capabilities not to take a test, go through processing, get all to the final line and find out you failed the sit-ups or you failed the push-ups or you failed a mile and a half run. So we want to make sure
I've heard about that from the fellow I know who just did the State Academy.
Yeah, we want to make we want to make sure they're ready when they get there. So, you know, so being physically fit is one part of it. Having a good background. There are so many things that they may not be aware of that could limit them from the ability to go in. I mean, things that would put them out. I mean, so something so simple as tattoos. Tattoos being so prevalent in society nowadays, but the state police, one of the standards is that if you have a visible tattoos below the arm or above the neck, you're eliminated.
Right.
These young people may not
true
know,
locally,
they
though,
may
right?
not know that. No, I don't think so. Not on a local level.
Yeah, I've seen HPD with tattoos on their arms.
So, you know, but there are things that they need to know now. I mean, having their credit history, having good credit history, you know, would could eliminate you. You know, drinking, things of that nature, we need to clean up now so that when they get called, they're ready. Right. You know, we don't want them to get that far down the road and then be eliminated because of something they didn't know.
What previous encounters with the law, in a negative sense, would prevent them from being part of the program?
Another great question. And that's one of a large obstacle in when I talked to Rick and Bill Hughes about this, is that, you know, a major obstacle would be getting candidates. Because a career in law enforcement in the minority community is not a traditional career. My grandfather wasn't in law enforcement. My father wasn't in law enforcement. You know what?
You're not Irish.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, but you got to understand that what makes, when you see what's going on in the country, when you see the way law enforcement treats minorities, when you see all the things going on in Ferguson, things going on in New York, these things that are happening, you know, what makes this person who is a minority want to be a career in law enforcement? In many, many communities, the police officers are not the good guys. You're not seen as the good guys. You're seen as the abuser. You're seen as the oppressor. You're seen in all these ways, all these negative ways. So it is a great question you ask, what would make these young people want to go on law enforcement when they see the negativity that law enforcement puts towards people of color throughout the country. So that's an obstacle that we have to overcome. We have to make them know that, you know, there is a career in law enforcement, and really important, they can make a difference. If you see things you don't like, then do something about it to make a difference. Join in. Be there. If you're there, maybe some of these things wouldn't happen. If you're there, maybe things, you know, could be different, and you can make a difference, and that's really important. That a diverse police department is a better police department.
Speaking about diversity, a couple questions. First, you're identifying, of course, African-American young people. What other groups have you targeted for Hudson? Any?
Anybody who is a, by standard, a minority. By the EEO process, by the EEO standards, minority or a woman. So the program is designed for minorities and women. They said the EEOC has clearly defined who is a minority, who's not a minority. If you have a minority status and or you're a woman, then this program is for you.
So more specifically, are there, for example, any Bengali
absolutely.
Young people interested?
Absolutely. I'm very happy to say that the candidates that we have so far are very diverse.
Wow.
We have a Pakistan young man from Pakistan. We have some African Americans. We have some Bengalis. We have some Hispanics.
Wow.
We have women. So I'm very, very happy to see the diversity is really, really there. It's going to be a great group.
I know this question came up on one of the websites, and I just would like you to address it again. Why they're not, and this is just, I feel obligated to ask, why, I guess it's called the LGBT community, would not be represented in this project?
Because they're not qualified as an ethnic minority by the standards of the law. This program is open to everybody. Your sexual orientation means nothing. It has no bearing on whether you're in or you're out. So, you know, we are more
point
than
is that question isn't asked.
Yeah,
right?
we are more than open to having, that's not even a question I would even, how would I even dare ask somebody, you know, what your sexual orientation was prior to coming being a part of my program. That's not on the table whatsoever. It's not a concern of mine. Anybody, and it's very simple, and I needed to make this maybe as simple as possible, is that anybody who has an ethnic minority status by the law, or you're a female, this program is designed for you. Now, there are other programs out there designed for other things. This program is simply designed for minorities and women.
Has there, it sounds like there hasn't been, but has there been any opposition? Anybody give you, suggest that this isn't necessary?
That what is necessary?
That this program is not a necessary thing, that our police department's fine the way it is and all that kind of thing?
No, I have had no local no local opposition. I think everybody I've talked to have been very positive, right. and they understand the need. And I think it's very clear that, a diverse police department is a better police department, and they better serve the community. You know, people who speak different language, bilingual people, people from all different walks and backgrounds. It makes a police department culturally aware. It makes them more relevant. It makes them part of the community. The people embrace them when they see somebody who looks like you, who responds to your house in time of crisis. I don't find any negative in having a diverse police department.
Mm-hmm. What about, how do you feel about people who grow up in a community becoming police in that community? Do you think there's a negative side to that?
There's a challenge to that. There's a challenge. I mean, I came from a projects. I grew up in a very urban area in the projects in New York. And, you know, and again, to be a police officer wasn't always, you know, the ideal profession. You know, it wasn't looked up to. Somebody like, no, you're going to be a police officer. You're going to be a cop. Come on, are you kidding me? You're going to be one of them. So it's always a challenge that because when you put the uniform on, and the blue uniform or gray uniform, whatever color your uniform is, that's who you are. That defines you first in your community. And when if you're black or Hispanic or you're Asian or whatever you are, when your friends and your community look at you, you're one of them. You now have a uniform on. You're not black. You're not Hispanic. You're not my friend Greg or my friend Pete or Joe. Now you're a police officer. And depending upon how the police officers are regarded in that community is how they regard you. And they want to know, how are you going to be? Are you going to be just like them? Or are you going to be different? Now, have you joined their ranks? Or are you still with us? So you get put in a very precarious position when you're a minority coming from a community and you enter in another culture of the culture mm-hmm. of law enforcement. And I say culture and I use that word.
Sure.
Because I mean it in that, you know, law enforcement, we have our own culture.
Absolutely.
You know, we have, and we do things the way we do them as defined by our culture. And people, a lot of people don't understand, well, why do I do this? Why do I do that? Well, it's culturally inherent as how we do our job and what we do in law enforcement. So you are entering another culture, and it's always questioned by your own community, how are you going to be towards us? Are you going to be there for us or not? Very, very challenging.
I think one of the challenges, too, is that when you've grown up seeing a police culture that seems to take care of itself and like-minded people, the tendency might be now it's our turn. We're going to take care of ourselves and our people. I mean, that's a temptation, mm-hmm. I would think, that comes up when you have someone from their own community working in that community.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy to be to decide, you know, how you're going to be as a police officer. There's pressure from both sides. There's pressure from your white counterparts. There's pressure from the black community. There's pressure from the Asian community. There's pressure from, you know, whatever community you're from. Mm-hmm. And law enforcement, there's pressure from both sides. Really, really. And it's a challenge. It is a challenge to be good and effective.
Did it help you to come this far, that is to say, to Chatham from Staten Island, to work in a place far away from, I mean, relatively far away from where you grew up?
It was a challenge coming. I was one of the first, I think the first African American police officer in Columbia County.
Really? Wow.
So it was a culture shock for the people and as well as myself. But I come from a very diverse background. I served 4 years in the United States Marine Corps. So I've been around, you know, being in the service and being in different places throughout the country. So you learned to adapt to different areas as you grow. So I was fortunate enough to get out of my community and see some of the world. So I was prepared for whatever the world had in store for me. And Columbia County was fine.
Was that your first assignment?
My first assignment state police was here in Columbia County, yes.
So you stayed in Columbia the whole time?
Yeah, and I loved it. I came here and settled down. My wife was in college in NYU at the time, and we kind of went back and forth a little while, and she finished school and came up here.
Fantastic.
And we settled in, and we've been here my entire career.
So getting back to this program, does the program have a name, by the way?
Yeah, it's called the Law Enforcement Diversity Initiative.
And if someone is interested in you know, offering, I mean, wants to join this initiative, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, it's very simple. It's through Operation Unite. You can go on our website. Mm-hmm. It's OperationUniteNY.com.
Okay, OperationUniteNY.com.
Yeah, and you'll see a drop-down menu will come, a logo will come up and say Law Enforcement Diversity Initiative. You click on that, and it'll say Apply Now. You click on that, and it takes you about 2 minutes. You can sign up.
What kind of hours do you keep at the building on State or Columbia? I can't remember.
We're on Columbia.
Columbia.
360
Columbia. 360 Columbia. Is there someone there generally every day?
My wife, Elaine, is there most of the day. Mm-hmm. Each day she's there.
So people can drop in too if they
Oh, absolutely. Sign up. Drop in and put cars there.
What's the right age range for people who want
to? I'm seeking people in the age of 18 to 29. Mm-hmm. And I use that because someone said, why not high school? Well, it's too early for this program. I need them kind of eligible and ready to go in law enforcement. And 29 is kind of the cutoff on the back end of the spectrum of the eligible age limit. So I put it between 18 and 29, bringing people in who are kind of ready. I mean, like state police test won't be around for another 2 years probably. So you have to be 21 to be a police officer in New York State. Mm-hmm. So I need them kind of ready to go into law enforcement.
That's interesting. You have to be 21. Do you need any college other than the Zone 14 class?
The state police requires that you have 60 college credits, not in any particular field of study. However, if you have military service, then you can use 6 years of military service to take off on your age. So you can be over 29 and just back up with the 6 years of military service. And they'll waive 30 college credits. That's your question. They'll waive 30 college credits if you have military service. Mm-hmm. So honorable discharge from military branch of service, you can they'll waive 30 college credits. But you don't, this is a big question. I'm glad you asked that too, because I just talked about this earlier today. You don't have to have college to take the test. You don't have to have college to get involved in my program, mm-hmm. because you have time. You can be a high school student, or you can have a high school education, get into my program, take the state police exam. It may be 3 or 4 years before you're called. You have that much time to go get your
60
college.
Credits.
So you have to have the credits at the time of appointment. So, you know, like a driver's license, you have to have an active New York State driver's license at the time of appointment. So you don't have to even have a driver's license.
I see.
But to take the exam. But a lot of people to take the exam, you know, and then, okay, I got to get this done, that done, and that done. You can get those things done prior to your appointment.
How long, the appointment to the State Academy takes a long time?
Well, the process is you know, every couple of years. You're talking about every 4 years that state police will have an exam.
Oh, I see.
So if you miss one, it's a long period of time before you wait to get in.
Now, the corrections and local police forces don't require college, is that right?
No, not that I know of, and so which is good because people can come out of high school. And the sheriff's department, you know, they got great jobs and great opportunities there. Hudson policemen, they got great jobs and opportunities there. So you can get a job, you know, or not even a job. I shouldn't even use the word job, a career in law enforcement on a local level, you know, on a county level, on a state level, and even more so, even you want to go to a federal level. But the point is, we got to get them invested. We got to give them an interest. You know, we got to show them that this is a path and a career that's open to them, to the people who want it. And a lot of people don't even know that these careers are available. So we need to let them know that these are good careers and they're available for you.
I think a lot of previously, there are, if you wanted to stay in this community or in this region, a career in law enforcement was one of the few ways you could stay around here. You know, there aren't a ton of jobs with that kind of security and, long-term commitment available.
Yeah, and so that's a challenge too. I talked to the sheriff, I talked to the chief of police locally. How many positions do they have available? There are not that many positions that are available. And when people get into these positions, they stay for long periods of time. So it's very limited and it's very difficult. Like I said, mm-hmm. I don't know it's an easy challenge to get people in law enforcement, as many people think. It's a challenge.
Take Hudson, for example. How often does an opportunity arise to hire someone? Is it every year, every couple of years?
I really am not qualified to answer that, but Chief, I'm sure Chief Eddie Moore, I'll be more than... You can give him a call and he can discuss what their hiring practices are and how many spots
being,
available.
My point, though, is that, you know, let's say 10 people make it through this program, they wouldn't be falsely expecting a job or a career, would they? I mean, Would every one of them, let's say all 10 make it through, would all 10, you think, be able to count on a career in law enforcement?
I think that we can get a large majority of them in a career somewhere. Maybe not locally.
Right.
You know, and so they may not be able to get up jobs here, but that's okay. I mean, there's Albany, and there's Catskill, and there's you know, Red Hook and Rhinebeck, and, you know, there's New York, and there's other places. Go to another state. Go to Massachusetts. So there are, you know, but the key is to get them in a career in law enforcement somewhere. And I think all of them could be in a career somewhere. Corrections, in the court systems, that in state police, local police. So there are a lot of opportunities that I think they all could be in somewhere.
We're talking to Greg Mosley, of the president of Operation Unite. Greg, can you tell us a little bit more about the other programs at Operation Unite? I mean, you say they're mostly sort of after-school enrichment programs and arts, in the arts, and in just general education. I mean, do you do sort of math and reading programs as well?
Yeah, Operation Unite, we have a multitude of programs there that are designed for young people. We have tutoring programs where we have the students from Bard College, students.
I was just going to ask you. Who
Bard is a big supporter of us, and we work very closely with Bard, and they have a group of students that come up and do tutoring in Operation Night, after-school tutoring with the young people. We have college prep programs where we take the kids on college visits. We can go out and, you know, we'll talk to the young people who are in our senior track. We call it a senior track where the kids who are seniors and going to be looking to go to colleges. We'll have them select the college they want to go to, and then put all the kids together, put four or five of them in a van, and go visit Iona, go visit Siena, go visit NYU. We've been on field trips to NYU. We've been to field trips to Cornell. We've been to field trips to different college universities. So that's important. A lot of these children, young people, their parents aren't equipped to take them on to go out west to us. So we do that with them. We have drumming. We have a drum program and a dance program. We do African dancing, African drums. We run the Black Arts and Cultural Festival each year in Hudson.
Every summer, yeah.
So every summer. So there's a multitude of things happening at Operation Unite, music lessons and kind of things.
How many young people do you think pass through in a given year?
Through Operation
Unite? Yeah, through the various programs.
I'd say, I don't know, probably, I hate to be wrong here. My wife will just hang me if I'm wrong.
Okay, you don't have to answer it then.
So, but we have, it depends. Some programs, when my wife and I, we founded Operation Unite, we never wanted to be big.
Right.
We wanted to be good. We wanted to be productive. So to get four or five children in a program.
Quality, not quantity.
That's it. That's it. So, you know, to put 100 of them together and to bring in a volunteer. Mm-hmm. If you're a volunteer going to do something with reading and I give you 25 young people, you couldn't be that effective. And you're not really there to deal with a lot of the issues that come in through the door. So by small numbers in groups of, said, down at Bliss Towers, the reading group down at Bliss Towers, you know, you little pockets like that. So there's a multitude of people, so you know, that we touch.
So you go off site too. It's not all done at the.
No,
at
we have the Hudson Opera House. We have Bliss Towers. We have other areas that we go to, the Hudson Area Library programs we do there. So we use the community as our basis for what we do, and we do it in a multitude of places.
Is it hard getting funding every year, or do you have
funding? Is very difficult, and that's my wife's area of expertise, where she works very, very hard at trying to obtain funds and grants and things to keep the program going. We struggle. We struggle tremendously, but we continue to move forward, even with the financial struggles we have.
Well, this is a great program. I hope it. Does it mean that Eric Galloway will never get a ticket? No, I'm kidding. The Galvin Foundation has funded this program to increase minority and women and female representation in law enforcement, to tutor young people to know that they can have a career that's, you know, a long-lasting career that has a lot of security and benefits and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, the Galvin Foundation should be commended. I mean, it's a great thing that they're doing. I mean, they're doing a lot of things in this community, one of which this is I'm involved in, and they could be commended, because this is a, you know, money and finances are hard to obtain. And so when people step up, and this is a very, very gracious scholarship fund that they put together for these young people. So they should be commended.
It's addressing a complaint often heard throughout, certainly the city of Hudson, that there is not enough diversity in the police department.
And that's heard throughout the country.
And it's heard throughout the country.
And I'd like for this program, actually, maybe, I'd like it to be a model. mm-hmm. for other parts of the country, not the state and the country, to say, you know what? Because this was happening here, is we the community, people in the community, we're not criticizing law enforcement for not being diverse. What we're saying is, let us help you become more diverse. So we understand the struggles you have. Me being having a Korean law enforcement, I understand the struggle. But let this community help you, help yourself, and be a better police department. So that's the way we're trying to take it. So we want to make sure we give these police departments, let them know we're here to work with them and to help them. And that should go out throughout the entire country. If the community work with the law enforcement agencies, I think we have a better place.
And more importantly, or just as importantly, when that mythical list appears to select Hudson PD, we hope there's more minority representation on that list. Now, let me ask you a question in a more general terms before we wrap it up. Do you think in the hope of creating more diverse police departments, that minority candidates should get a certain leg up in the process?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The minority candidates are as qualified as any other candidate. They just need the opportunity. Give them the opportunity and they will succeed. That's all they ask for. That's all we ask for, is an equal opportunity, you know, for employment. That's all they really want. That's all we really need. Give us an opportunity and they'll be successful.
I think that's a great way to end. We've been talking to Greg Mosley, president of Operation Unite, who has been telling us about the new program. Can you tell us the name of the program again?
It's the Law Enforcement Diversity Initiative.
Law Enforcement.
Operation Unite.
For Operation Unite. And if you want to get in touch, go to OperationUniteNY.com.
Or you can call. My office is area code 518-828-3612. At machine will answer the phone or someone will answer the phone.
And you're located one more time?
At 360 Columbia Street, Hudson, New York.
Okay. Well, thank you, Greg Mosley. And I think this is, I'm glad you came in to talk about this.
I'm glad you had me. I hope the listeners out there enjoyed your program. I listen when I'm in the car and I enjoy it. So I hope everybody else
does. I hope maybe even just one candidate comes from hearing this.
That'd be wonderful.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.